What would you get if you crossed Robin Hood and the Joker and maybe sprinkle in a little bit of Aussie as well? Well, since I missed the episode we did Ned Kelly back in August 2022, I'm doing my own. Any old fool can swan about with a bucket on his head and write a couple of letters about some bushranging comedy. This episode, I share the story of Aussie larrikin, the legend, Ben Hall, the clown prince of bushrangers.
I know that name.
I also know that name.
I figured this name would have come across your bow.
Yeah.
When you were doing Neddies.
I've also...
Neddies!
I've also, for some unknown reason, thanks Mum and Dad, been to a really annoying amount of bushrangers' grave sites over the years. And I suspect I might have been to his one. I've been to Thunderbolt's grave as well. He was another good bushranger.
Yeah.
His grave is like actually public. They've got a big plinth for him in his town, wherever that was.
Yeah, Ben Hall...
Yeah. His spoiler, parents, he's from bushrangers.
Yeah. Hey, were my parents bushrangers? No. Yeah.
Is that what we're about to learn?
No, that would be cool.
We'll get to Ben Hall's resting place later because there's a good photo of it. I'm sure Aaron will put up. But it's been a little while since we recorded.
Yeah.
There's been some happenings in the world.
Yeah. Near and dear to us.
Well, that too. But I was going to firstly cover, we've got a bit of an answer on Kate Middleton.
Yeah, I still don't believe it. I'm all in for the conspiracy.
Here we go.
I'm all in.
What's the conspiracy? She's dead?
Nah, that they've like, well, yeah, maybe she's dead. I don't know, but they've definitely swapped her out.
You reckon?
Yeah. I'm going full Avril Lavigne with this one, I think.
And Paul McCartney.
What do you mean Avril Lavigne?
Oh, there's a conspiracy theory that Avril Lavigne is not the same person. You know, you remember the Paul McCartney conspiracy theory?
Yeah.
Same sort of thing. They reckon that she died at some stage and they found a body double for her. And swapped her over.
Yeah. And I reckon that's what's happened with Kate.
Apparently, Paul McCartney is Australian.
Yeah.
Apparently, when they were on the Australia tour, he died and they found a lookalike for him in Adelaide.
I have heard that one.
Yeah.
Oh, well, let's keep him for a future episode. We can do McCartney and Levine.
Lock that in.
Yeah.
McCartney and Levine.
And
that
Middleton.
Sounds like a... McCartney, Levine and Middleton sounds like the worst law firm you'd ever book in for accident or injury law.
It also sounds like a...
I was thinking
like a Crosby, Stills and Nash type.
Yeah. I was thinking like a beer, McCartney and Levine. Mm. Grab a cold, McCartney and Levine.
Yep.
But like you said, a bit closer to us, a very large inspiration for why we do this. Wait, do you remember this?
I do remember that, yeah. Rooster Teeth, RIP.
Rest in pepperonis, Rooster Teeth.
Rooster Teeth is shutting down.
Yeah. Only reason we mention it is because, one, very influential in our podcast. There's like three different podcasts that I listen to that helped develop this one.
And our friendship.
And, of course, our friendship. That was point two.
Yep.
Point one's just relevant to the listener.
Okay, sure.
And then three, just in general, very influential for what we know as internet entertainment today.
Yeah. I was just thinking the other day, I was listening to IGN podcast and they were talking about how they did a Let's Play and I'm like, that term was coined by Rooster Teeth's Achievement Hunter where they just went, I think it was Ray at one start of an episode, it's like, Let's Play.
Yeah.
And now everyone knows if you say, oh, we're going to do a Let's Play in this, you know what that is.
Like, and I'm sure that they're not like... I'm sure that a lot of the stuff that they did is like derivative of other things that they'd seen before as well. But they were incredibly popular. And a lot of what you know today in entertainment online is influenced heavily by something from Rooster Teeth at some point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So RIP, pour one out for our homies. How white did I just sound?
Really bad. So I'll just bring up that in the email he cited fundamental shifts in consumer behavior and monetization across platforms, advertising and patronage, being the reported that the number of subscribers to its first service had dropped to around a quarter of their peak and that Rooster Teeth as a whole would be unprofitable for a decade.
Most people probably
The Roost Podcast Network will remain in operation while Warner Brothers Discovery seeks a buyer. The company will also gauge interest in the Rooster Teeth Library and intellectual property.
Mm. Is that from like the head of Warner Discovery?
Yep.
Yeah.
Most people don't know what Rooster Teeth is. No. You've probably seen something of theirs at some point.
Like if you're old enough to listen to this podcast, and sorry, if you're old enough to be interested in this podcast, let's face it, you've probably watched Red versus Blue, or at least seen Red versus Blue in passing on the internet when we were younger.
I remember it being advertised at the bottom of MSN.
Yeah, I remember DVDs when they were available at the video store.
Yep.
There was a thing that's like, hey, we've got Red versus Blue.
That was like the real first big thing that they did.
Mm. Yeah.
But they've done a few feature films. They've done TV series, like online TV shows as well, multiple podcasts.
They were, if you don't know what they are, they were a multi-channel YouTube. Most people would interact with them as a multi-channel YouTube group. They'd have, you know, a gaming division, an entertainment division, a live action. At one point, they did news. Like,
yeah, is there any other multi-channel?
I can't think of any. Yeah.
IGN's done it a few times. If, like, there's the Xbox channel, PlayStation channel.
Mm.
But then...
But that's still basically the same thing.
But then they've like folded them back into gaming, just one channel, and then they've tried again. But for Rooster Teeth, were the longest.
21 years.
They were the longest running internet company.
Yeah. Anyway, RIP, let's do this episode in their honor.
Sure.
They're not dead. They're just
yet.
Anyway, let's go.
Ben Hall was born on May 9th, 1837. At Maitland in New South Wales to father Benjamin Hall and mother Eliza Summers.
I thought for a second you said Maitland, and you mean like Maitland? Maitland. Like where the cheese is from? Like Maitland cheese? M-A-I-T?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You mean mainland cheese? There's no T in mainland cheese.
Isn't there a Maitland cheese?
Like, I don't know if there's a Maitland cheese, but if you're talking about mainland cheese, that's from New Zealand.
Yeah, that's not what I'm thinking of.
That's the big cheese company.
Anyway, I thought you were saying there was a place in Australia called Maitland. I was like, sick.
I mean, it is. Maitland, M-A-I-T-L-A-N-D. Yeah. Maitland.
I'm going to be honest. There's a few places from New South Wales, which is not that far away from us, that I've never heard of before in this story.
Like, what the hell's Sydney?
Yep. Benjamin was born in Bedminster, England in 1805, and Eliza was born in Dublin, England in 1807. Both Ben's parents had been-
In England?
No, Dublin in Ireland.
Ireland. Did I say England?
No, he said Dublin and then Dublin. Added a T or a D and it confused him.
Okay.
I thought he also said in England. Anyway.
Check the tape. Anyway.
Check the tape.
Dublin, Ireland.
Do that annoying thing where we act like we're
God, what just happened? Born in Dublin. In England.
Dublin. In England. In England.
I quit. Don't do that again.
All right, Sean, you got to read his script.
I don't have it.
Both Ben's parents had been convicted of minor stealing offences and were transported to New South Wales and first met as convicts.
I love that it's minor. Minor theft. Australia for life.
Yep, pretty much. Benjamin received his ticket of leave in August of 1832 and Eliza was granted her freedom 2 years later. And they were married that same year and had numerous children. Ben Jr., Ben Hall we're talking about, was child number four, son number three. So, being our heritage convicts.
Speak for yourself.
Well, not everyone who lives in Australia is descended of a convict. But I've actually never heard of this ticket of leave before.
Yeah.
So, like, once they'd served
their time.
Their time. They were
given a pass.
Yeah, it was to settle.
It's parole.
Yeah.
Right?
So, oh, yeah, it was parole. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a document of parole issued to convicts who had shown that they could now be trusted with some freedoms. It was initially issued in Britain and then later adapted for the United States, Canada, and Ireland as well. The ticket of leave system was first introduced by whatever in 1801. The principal aim was to reduce the burden of the fledgling colonial government of providing food from the government's limited stores to convicts who were being transported.
Right. So they're like, you're free. Go back. Yeah,
the idea was if they seemed to be able to support themselves, they were awarded a ticket of leave. Before too long, tickets were began to be given as a reward for good behavior. But initially it was because they were like, okay, this person is not a unsustainable prisoner. They can probably look after themselves. Here's parole because now we don't want to pay for your food.
Mm. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Being the kid of a couple of convicts, and from what I said in the intro, Ben didn't stand a chance and was destined to become an outlaw. However, not really the case. His early life.
So what you said 10 seconds ago, not true.
Yep, misdirect.
Misdirects aren't usually immediately fixed.
His early life was mundane and ordinary. His father finding work.
Oh, hey, here's Bruce Willis's character in that movie. Oh, he's a ghost, yep. Just to be clear. Just on with sure. The movie.
Yep. His father found work on the Doona Run near Murun.
Murunbar?
Nope.
Oh.
Murundi.
Murarundi.
Murarundi. Thank you.
But where does Mara run to?
D.
Sean loved it. Got him.
Near Murarundi for Samuel Clift, and his mother was working in Clift's home. There was a pretty bad drought throughout 1838 and 39, which forced Clift to move all of his livestock back to the Hunter region, and Ben Sr. lost his position at Doona. But during this time, Ben Sr. found an isolated valley north of Murarundi, which had a permanent water source and good grazing, and so built a rough hut and started gathering any wild cattle or horses that he could find in the area. By mid-1842, I've for some reason written 1942, by mid-World War I, too, by mid-1842, he bought a small block of land in the newly created village of Murarundi and established a butcher shop and also sold fresh produce. So Dad's carved out, you know, a bit of a life for himself, a bit of a honest living.
Yep.
Got a butcher shop and
made something of himself.
Yeah. There was some more minor moving around in 1850 to the Lachlan River, and Ben Jr. spent these early years working with cattle and horses, becoming very experienced with stock work and bushcraft. So that's working with animals, and I think bushcraft is actually like mining.
Bushcraft is mainly just
finding ores, mining ores and veins of minerals and stuff.
No, it's just how to survive naturally in the Australian bush. That's what it's generally referred to as. Bushcraft is just the ability to live off the land as much as possible.
At the age of 19, Ben got hitched to Bridget Walsh at Bathurst. Ben and Biddy, which was her nickname.
Nice.
On August 7th, 1859, had a son who they called Henry. Then, with his brother-in-law, John Maguire, they either bought or leased some land, about 10,000 acres, out of Sandy Creek, which is about 50 k's south of Forbes. Do you know where Forbes is?
I have been to Forbes.
He does.
Oh, I've got no idea.
Mm. It's like anything inland in New South Wales.
Just out there somewhere.
Yeah.
It's where the dish is.
No, that's Parks.
Ah, same thing.
Boo! The next time... The next a lot of time for Benny Boy has some different stories. I found conflicting stories, so I just kind of muddled them together. So Ben was either away mustering for an extended period of time or had been arrested on association for armed robbery.
Okay. So
it was either one of those two things, to which he was acquitted of the armed robbery. But the ending was the same, in that his wife had left him and taken their young son with her.
Oh, okay.
So he's come back from that and she's
gone. Like that, like the guy in my Prohibition story where he went to prison, came back and the wife had stolen everything and run away with the Prohibition agent.
Oh, yeah. Well, connected. She was having an affair with a young police officer named James Taylor.
Oh, jeez. Another official. I think I could see the writing on the wall here.
She had moved to Humbug Creek, which was well away from Ben.
Yeah.
And this may have been the turning point.
Yeah.
For our titular character, Ben.
Does this end in a...
such a good word.
Does this end in a glacking?
Titular is a great word.
It is a brilliant
it's
word.
It's a brilliant word.
Actually, no, it doesn't.
Oh, glack-free since 93.
Yeah. So Ben did start associating with a notorious bushranger, Frank Christie. Shocking, right?
Mm.
For the spoiler and intro. And in April 1862, he was arrested for participating in the armed robbery of Bill Bacon near Forbes.
Oh, no, not Bill Bacon.
Billy Bacon.
K Kevin Bacon's dad.
Great uncle.
We're all connected to Bacon.
He was identified by a witness as being
George
in the company.
Egg there?
George Egg. Yeah. Bacon and Egg. A witness identified him as being in the company of Frank during the robbery, as well as two other men whose names are unknown. The charge, however, was dismissed as the witness changed their testimony. Now, this could have been the time he was away when his missus left. Not sure. Like this, like I said, this is...
That 1800s history, not very good. Yeah.
But shortly after, on June 15th, 1862, Frank led a gang of eight men, including Ben, in the robbery of a gold escort coach near...
Look, I'm just going to call it O'Gara.
O'Gara? You reckon it's O'Gara?
It's either E-U-Gara, which I doubt, but it sounds like O'Gara or A-Gara.
Yagara.
Or Yagara. Noting that Yagara a lot of these are indigenous. Well, let me spell it. It's E-U-G-O-W-R-A. A lot of these are indigenous names.
Yeah. That feels right.
So Yagara or Yagara.
If anyone knows Australian indigenous linguistics, please let us know.
Yeah.
Well, type it in the comments where we can clearly see how it's.
Yeah, there's no. Yes, the Wiradjuri people, which is the same tribe of people that are around the Riverina region of Wagga Wagga as well. That's a tough one.
We'll go with Yagara.
Yeah, because it would be the same as Yamundi.
Which is now called Escort Rock.
Okay. That's where the escort was attacked?
Possibly. And they stole banknotes and 2,700 ounces of gold.
That's a lot.
Yeah, which was worth about £14,000.
That's probably like $16 billion now.
Again, sheesh. Ben and the rest of the crew were arrested, but police couldn't gather enough evidence to formally charge him.
Right.
So, let go. Ben was released, and at the end of August, Ben was released at the end of August and returned to his land in Sandy Creek. But on return, found his horses either dead or lost, and also his hut had been burnt down by the police.
Oh, man. I was about to say crime was so easy back then, but then so was retribution by the police. Mm. So
he and his partner, the one he had the land with, were facing mounting legal costs, and so they sold or either transferred the lease to John Wilson of that 10,000 acres. With no family, no land, no direction, Ben drifted for 7 months, and he hooked up with some less than desirable characters, including John O'Mealy, Johnny Gilbert, and Patsy Daly. Did you see any of those names when you were doing Netters?
Oh.
I feel like
John O'Mealy
is a known character.
He's a known character, yeah.
Anyway.
No, they're all too far north.
Ben Hall was now officially a bushranger.
You got to remember this is like mid-New South Wales, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Officially? Is that the right word?
Ned Kelly was Victoria.
Yeah, he was
Victoria. That may as well be different planets at this time.
Hmm.
True. I thought, yeah, he was Victoria, wasn't he?
Yeah, Ned was in the middle, smack bang in the middle of Victoria too.
Hmm.
Glen Rowan's right in the center.
I actually think Ben was a couple of years before Ned as well.
Mm-hmm.
So from 1863 to 1865, over 100 robberies were attributed to Ben and his associates, which made him one of the most prolific and most successful bushrangers.
Cool.
Yeah, Ben Hall died 15 years before Ned Kelly died.
Ah, there you go.
Spoiler?
Yeah, that is a big spoiler that he died, Sean. He was a ghost all along. That's the twist.
That Ben Hall lived forever.
Ben Hall is alive. Right here.
He's a
Highlander. Please welcome.
Yeah, he's 300 years old. He's a Highlander. Like,
yeah.
There can be only one bushranger.
Can never die.
Ben Hall killed all the other bushrangers. Thunderbolt, Ned Kelly, Gardner, everybody just was like, nope, there can be only one. The movie was wrong. Christopher Lambert was not meant to be in that movie. Now we're getting into a deep
cut
of my crappy favorite movie, second favorite movie.
It was said that him and his crew were well armed and had really good horses.
Nice.
Often stealing race horses.
Lots of horsepower.
Which would easily outrun the old nags the police had.
So bad.
Even though he had many holdups using guns, Ben never actually killed anyone.
Oh, okay.
And it seemed like his goal was to humiliate the police rather than just grabbing the loot.
I said what a coward. What I meant was, what an upstanding individual.
Mm. His criminal career was less a reign of terror and more of an 1860 version of the show Punked and focused on the police instead of celebrities.
I'm really all about tomfoolery.
He also gained the moniker of Gentleman Bushranger.
Mm.
And, well, it seems to have deserved it.
Yeah.
One such story of tomfoolery.
I'm going to have to steal your stuff. I'm sorry.
Please put down your weapons and I'll give you a wedgie. One such story of tomfoolery occurred in Canowindra, also New South Wales, when Ben and his crew, which I should cover who was in it at the time, it consisted of Ben Hall, Mickey Burke, John Vane, John O'Mealy, and Johnny Gilbert.
Okay.
So the boys rocked into town and somehow locked up the local copper in his own cell. I believe there was only one. There could have been more, not sure, but they were locked in their own cells. And then he kind of invited all the townspeople. They were required to gather in the pub.
Okay.
Why?
So that they were hostages? Or so that they had food?
For a sweet-ass party, that's why.
Oh.
Food and drink were provided.
Hi, I'm a bushranger. I'd like to chuck a party.
Yep. And the gang even offered entertainment.
Okay.
Upon leaving, not only did they leave empty-handed, they didn't steal anything, but they paid the publican for the goods consumed and the townspeople for their time.
So they just chucked a party.
They chucked a party.
That's not really bushranging. That's not really. That's not really being a criminal.
Oh, they locked up the copper.
Yeah, okay, but that's just a bit of tomfoolery. So they just locked him up. They didn't even rough him up or anything?
I don't think so. It seemed like they were really just sticking it to the man.
Yeah.
Not only being smarter, but more generous too.
Yeah. Sorry for involving you in this free party. I'll also give you $20 for the day.
Yeah.
Fact checker jumping in here, just to be clear, bushranging was never specifically originally about crime. The term bushranger was originally just escaped convicts that used the bush to hide from people. Oh. It was only later that they started robbing people.
When Ned Kelly ruined it for everyone.
Yes.
He didn't do this just once.
How many times did he do it?
He returned to the town sometime later and did it again.
The same place. Oh, it's that guy that pays you to have a party.
This time for 3 days.
3 day bender.
Just a bad bender
ben
for 3 days.
Ben Hall's back in town. The boys are back. Boys That's actually back. What the boys are back is written about.
The boys are back in town.
It's not at all about Irish. Not all about Irish gangs. It's actually about bushrangers.
Yeah. Actually, if you really look at the lyrics, it's about Ben Hall.
Look, Thin Lizzy were really heavily inspired by Ben Hall.
Yeah. You might think that they were Irish. No. Were they Irish?
He was half Irish.
Thin Lizzy.
No. His mother was Irish.
No, he's talking about Thin Lizzy.
Oh, right.
Yeah, Ben was Irish.
Yeah.
Or England, if we consider Dublin part of England.
Dublin.
So, yeah, just a 3 day bender partying with the town.
Oh, sorry. I'm just digging into the Dublin thing. Thin Lizzy are also from Dublin.
Dublin.
Can you just join Wikipedia and change Dublin's page to be Dublin?
Dublin.
I mean, yeah.
The highlight of Ben's bushranging may be this next confrontation, although may not be confirmed, but I did see it on one website. I couldn't find it on other ones.
All right, that's enough for us.
Yeah, why ruin a good story?
Ben, if you want good research, start your own podcast.
I did a lot of research. I just found it in one source.
If it's not corroborated, it's good enough for us.
Ben was back near Bathurst and had 4 stars. He was being pursued by the local police.
Is that a...
That's a GTA reference. Okay.
Yeah. I was wondering if that was an actual thing.
GTA reference.
Yeah, nice.
Didn't quite have the military after him. Wasn't 5 stars, just 4. Ben and the crew got the drop on the police, disarming them of their carbines, revolvers and handcuffs, as well as other items. He then proceeded to strip them naked and tie them to the trees.
Yep. And then he spanked their little bottoms and ran into town.
Don't say bottom.
Ben wasn't finished.
Yeah.
He then lectured the captive audience on the pressing problem of police misconduct.
Okay.
He just went on a bit of a rant.
Did he pay them for their time?
No, he didn't.
What a jerk.
He just went on an old rant with the... This is not working.
What are you trying to do?
This is when I wanted the music to start playing.
Oh.
Press the home button.
Oh, don't press the home button.
Press the play button.
Hold it up. You're now watching How to Use Aaron's TV with Aaron, John and Sean. Oh, it's going to change the lights. Oh, no, my pretty colours.
So, yeah, he lectured the croppers who were tied naked to the tree. I can only assume he then rode off into a movie-esque sunset with appropriate soundtrack playing in the background, leaving the popo stuck to the trees awaiting help.
Oh, my pants. I've lost my pants.
They'd lost everything.
Yeah, they had lost everything, that's for sure.
Even their dignity.
Especially their dignity. This guy just got the jump on and made him nude and tied him to a tree.
Yeah. It just may have been that day that Ben Hall proved you can make just as big a statement taking the Mickey out of the police as you can shooting at them. As you can guess, the lecture wasn't really well received.
No.
Anyway, it just added to the legacy that Ben Hall was the Robin Hood of Australia, of Australian history, who did these things not just for a personal gain or self-indulging pleasure, but in a true Aussie larrikin style, having a laugh at others' expense.
How is this guy not more popular in Australian folklore?
I really don't know.
He's like that's proper Australian tomfoolery.
Yeah.
Shenanigans. Having a laugh.
However, this was the beginning of the end.
Oh, no.
Mickey Burke was killed a few days later at Dunn's Plains, and over the next few weeks, John Vane surrendered to the police and O'Mealy was shot dead in an attack on Goombla
Let's Station. Let's just call it Goombla.
Goombla Station.
Goombla.
The gang had been reduced to just Ben Hall and John Gilbert.
Right.
In 1864, he posseed up with other scoundrels. And in November, they robbed a mail coach at Black Springs where John Gilbert shot and killed Sergeant Perry. And then in January 1865, John Dunn shot Constable Noble when they raided a hotel in Collector, which is now called the Bushranger Hotel. Is this one of the things you've been to, Sean?
I have not been to the Bushranger Hotel. It's pretty neat.
It's a cool looking place.
Yeah.
Having a metaphoric gutful of these blokes, the government finally enacted legislation to bring an end to the careers of these bushrangers. The Felons Apprehension Act was pushed through in New South Wales Parliament, and its specific purpose was to declare Ben and his cohorts outlaws, meaning they would be outside of the law and could be killed by anyone at any time without fear of repercussion.
Like, without warning.
Without warning.
Oh, jeez. So they can just
without
shoot
any warning. Them. Hold to the app. Bang. Sorry. Let's try that again. Hold it. Don't worry. cut the cuff.
Cut version. The swears. Sean Turnock, outlaw.
It's Sunday.
It's Sunday. Yeah. The sun stands for swear.
Like I said earlier, all in all, over 100 robberies and raids were attributed to Ben and his associates, and they including holding up several villages, dozens of mail coaches, and the regular theft of prized racehorses. In early of 1965, the gang realised if they were to survive, they needed to leave New South Wales. First, they rested in an isolated cave near Goonbang Creek.
Cool. Great name.
With intentions of gathering provisions and fresh horses for the long trek northwards to Queensland, Goonbang Mick Connolly, a man who promised to give the gang assistance and protection, instead, he was a slimy little sneaky slug and ratted the gang out to the authorities.
A dirty, dirty rat.
Dirty rat. In late April, Ben separated from the gang with the intention of regrouping days later at Goonbang Creek. But on the dawn of May 5th, Ben was ambushed by 8 well-armed policemen who who shot him at least 30 times as he attempted to run away.
And this is a guy that never actually really did crime.
Oh, he robbed people, but he didn't actually kill anyone.
Wow. And they shot him 30 times. Yes. How many of the police that ambushed him were tied to a tree at some point?
I'm going to say none.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe he could. I didn't say if any of those were present. The report said he fell and as he held himself up, cried, "I am wounded. Shoot me dead."
It's four then, bullets each.
Then died lot. Seconds later.
That's four bullets each in guns that held six bullets.
And that's, were probably pretty inaccurate.
That's a whole clip. Yeah, that's a whole clip. Each, assuming they missed the other two.
Potentially not just revolvers. They could have had the carbines.
They might have had lever actions.
Yeah. This is for my pantless friend.
But he was still alive after 30 shots and had enough time to go, "Look, you've wounded me. Just kill me." And then he died.
Oh, what a way to go.
His body was taken back. He could have used a trash can on his head. Then he might have survived.
There's a lot of Ned Kelly shade going on in this.
Yeah.
I'm starting to feel a little bit attacked.
No, it's nothing personal, Sean.
Ned Kelly was a little bitch. We're going to have to start doing like ranking episodes, like the tier list of Aussie bushrangers, because I'm okay with those videos go really popular on YouTube. Need little whiteboards and everything. Let's do it.
Top five Aussie bushranger. Yeah, Ned Kelly's not Ned actually Collie. On my list. Yeah,
D through S tier, that's what...
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Nod Coley's not on my list.
Nod Coley.
Nod Coley.
Benny Boy's body was taken back to Forbes and was buried on May 7th, 1865. And he was later given a headstone in 1920. There's also a plaque dedicated to Ben in Goonbang Creek where he was shot. So you could go to like the area he died and there'd be like a plaque on a stone, as well as a cave in the Weddin Range near Glenfall, which is known as Ben Hall Cave. I'm assuming that's like where he rested up.
Must be, yeah.
And thus ends the tale of Australians Robin Hood, the Clown Prince of Bushrangers, Ben Hall.
Fun one. What a guy. Why is he not more famous?
I don't know. I was talking to someone online the other night and I just happened to mention, "Hey, do you know who," because he lived in New South Wales, "do you know who Ben Hall is?" And he's like, "The bushranger?" I'm like, "You know?" So people out there must know.
Yeah. Like we talk about all the really bad ones that did the killings, but we don't talk about the silly one.
No. Oh, obviously Ned is the most famous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks of Ned when they hear bushranger.
Yeah.
Such is life.
But yeah, I really enjoyed the story of Ben and his shenanigans.
Instead of defund the police, it should be de-pants the police.
Declothe the police.
Pants the police.
Could you imagine what would happen today if you just rocked up?
Oh, you'd be dead.
If you rocked up to a copper and dacked him? Just
pepper spray.
Just get tasered. You'd
get tasered immediately, yeah. Oh, well, good one.
Yeah, thanks.
That was fun.
Yeah, that's what I wanted. A bit of lighthearted fun.
Just to be clear, Cheeky Tales does not condone bushranger activity.
Or any if it means, illegal activity at all.
I mean, it does. We do condone escaping from your convict life, because if you are, you're probably already dead because you're living in the past. In which case, Cheeky Tales says yes to running from your convict lifestyle.
You too can run away from the Australian penal colonies.
Yes.
Good stuff.
Thanks.
Looking at the picture of his grave. I'm pretty sure I have seen it.
I was going to say, yeah.
So I think it's in Forbes and it looks extremely familiar. Mm. I reckon I have. Mum and Dad would have been like, "There you go." And I went, "Yeah."
It's quite a large headstone, isn't it?
It is.
Check out the socials.
Don't go Google it. Head to @CheekyTalesPod on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Mm-hmm. And you too can see the grave. We post supplemental images there and you can have a chat to us.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the comments too.
Leave some feedback.
Don't call me a slaphead anymore.
Leave some episode ideas.
My hair out.
If you have a story that you'd like to hear, let us know. Some of our favourite stories have come from suggestions.
If you, because I know we have some people who listen from overseas, if you have some local stories that you know of, send them this way. We'll do the research.
Your local shenanigan giver.
We'll look into it and we'll let the world of 30 odd people know your local story.
And share us with a friend so that they can hear your story suggestion.
one day it'll be thousands of people. We're just
be here early.
And shout out to all the boys at 4Reg that listened to the Dr. Pepper episode and helped get the numbers up from zero. Very thankful for that.
Thanks, boys
at 4Reg.
Oh, yep, nice.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to get that episode into the internal speakers at Amatil, mm-hmm. at Richlands.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sick of hearing this. I've heard it 50 times today.
All right. Well, we will be back in a fortnight. Thank you very much for listening. Good night.
What's my sign off?
I don't know.
Good night, Chiquitos.
Yeah, Chiquitos.
I know it was Chiquitos, but I thought I said good night. You usually say good night.
I've always said good night.
I think you say goodnight as well, but you always say Chiquitos.
Oh. Yeah, you say goodnight, Chiquitos.
Arrivederci, Chiquitos.
And I say, ta-ta.
I'm changing to arrivederci.
Yeah, we need a new one.
Does that mean goodbye?
Yeah.
Arrivederci, Chiquitos.